I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, Ali Plum.
Hi, Ross Drummond.
Oh, I was going to hope you were going to harmonize with me then. No, for a second it sounded good.
Hello, Chris Hewitt.
Holy shit.
Hi, everybody.
Have you managed to get in here, man?
Hi, everybody.
Hi, everybody.
That was pretty good.
Welcome to...
That was unrehearsed.
That was good.
As you may have guessed, this is, of course, a podcast about the Fresh Prince. And
that's the three-part harmony.
Which is why my phone's going off.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Yep.
What is that ringtone?
I don't know. Apple?
That's not an Apple ringtone.
Anyway, welcome. We're here to talk about one particular episode of The Fresh Prince, which is called Eyes on the Prize.
Eyes on the Prize.
And we have Chris Hewitt of Empire Magazine.
Tell you what, I've got two eyes on a prize right here. It feels like a real prize to be in the presence of you.
Oh, that is so lovely.
Ali Plum.
No!
Lovely to
come on, man.
Suckered. Look at that. 1-2, baby.
I get the impression that it's going to be really humorous today.
My publicist discussed this with you. There would be no sort of, you know, jokes at my expense or anything like that. Mm. You're looking me in the eye.
She said no japes.
No, she said no drapes. I like people
to watch. That's why there's a lot of windows in this room, so yep. You're in luck.
And no grapes, and I'm good to see there are no grapes, so that's good.
Well, safety first.
And no Snapes. I don't like Harry Potter.
Well, we've cleared that up.
Thank God for that.
This is one of our special Let's Talk About an Individual episode.
I mean, every episode's special now.
That's true.
That's what I like to say.
Well, yeah, when we start with three-part harmony.
I don't think it's very funny.
I think a lot of people would agree with you.
I don't think a lot of people would agree with me. I've looked at the stats.
What?
Yay! Listeners.
As we always say, and we really mean it, thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening. It's such a joy to be in the same room as Chris, because it's like
a rare treat.
It's like what's that thing in Harry Potter that's really rare? You'd know, Chris.
I love Harry Potter.
Yeah.
The Horcrux.
What? Yeah.
Apparating?
Are you fucking kidding me? That's 0 for 2 now.
Yeah.
Do you put up this on the Empire podcast?
The text does say, I just remembered you were podcasting. Sorry.
On the Empire podcast, Ali is the epitome of professionalism. The phone is off. Actually, I'm the one who beeps and farts.
I mean, you're literally texting right now.
I'm not texting. I'm doing research. Do you want to say I'm doing research, okay? Do you want to look at that? Do you want to check my phone?
You're Googling Harry Potter.
I'm not Googling Harry Potter. Yes, okay, that's a naked Neville Longbottom, all right? I can't help what's on my camera roll. I can't help it. Yeah. You can apparate into my bed anytime, Neville.
How you doing?
Hello.
You're listening to the Fresh Prince podcast. A very special 99's Problems podcast about a Fresh Prince episode called Eyes on the Prize. It's episode 19 of season 2 of the Fresh Prince. It stars Will Smith and
Did you guys
Alfonso Ribeiro.
You watched it today?
Yep. Yeah, I watched it this very day.
Great episode, huh?
This show's still running, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
This is still going?
Our podcast, yeah. Yeah. It's up and right now, we're live.
I mean, when you say running, I mean, yeah.
Okay.
Fresh Prince, we lost him.
We did lose him.
He is now no longer fresh.
What's he doing now?
He became part of the movie world.
Hanging out with his sundresses in white.
Most recently, he was, of course, in Focus, a film that everyone will no doubt be remembering in about 20 years' time as, yeah, that, no.
No. Okay. I liked Focus.
It's okay, but you're not going to remember it.
Alone.
You're not going to remember it. You are going to remember 99's Problems, though.
Absolutely.
Right?
It was on iTunes.
Do you remember that thing that was on iTunes?
Yeah, exactly.
That one thing
that was on iTunes.
It was great.
Oh,
that was a great, great couple of years. Anyway, yes, so we're here to talk about one particular episode.
You enjoyed this episode?
I liked it. I liked it, and I recommended it.
Are we all fans of Keenan? I keep saying Keenan and Kel, mainly because I'm racist, but... it's awkward, isn't it?
Okay.
But Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
He keeps saying it when he's in the shops.
What's he saying? I've just said Keenan and Kel. I think I was just so... It was such a turnaround for me the last time, watching Keenan and Kel and enjoying it,
mm-hmm.
that to watch this, I mean, I would have said this, honestly, if we were on MSN Messenger about 4 or 5 years ago, I'd have put lol and meant it. Because I laughed out loud on a number of occasions.
I chuckled.
Did you?
Mainly because I was kind of bunking off work a little bit.
Ooh,
watching it on my headphones.
You watched it on your headphones?
Preparing. I watched it on my, I listened to it on my iCam, and I watched it on my headphones.
I
enjoyed it. I wrote down some choice lines, and there were a couple of risque moments that I was a little bit shocked by.
Are you kidding me? Yeah.
This was a belter of references episode. Like,
yeah, I had to Google a lot of things.
Do you know who?
Who is Will Smith?
Jimmy Walker.
Jimmy Walker.
Jimmy Walker.
All got pieces of paper out like Jimmy it's a Walker. Pop quiz.
Yeah. Jimmy Swagger.
Have you got your revised?
Jimmy Swagger. Yes. Jimmy Swagger was an evangelical. He was one of those.
He liked a lot of company. He liked paying for company.
He did like paying for company.
Mm-hmm.
He also liked paying for sex. I don't know if you wanted to.
Listen,
that's what you were getting at.
Allegedly.
This is not a segue. Mariah Carey. There's a reference.
Yeah,
there's
a good. Yeah, because she's. Yeah, that was good as well.
Yep. Reference to her. Queen Elizabeth. Queen Latifah referenced.
Welcome to the reference section.
Yep.
It's like a Wikipedia article now.
Looking up further.
Sounds like we just saw the bottom of a Wikipedia article.
Tom Jones, who's he? Bob Eubank, who could forget him from Celebrity Squares?
You wrote down a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
I kind of stopped halfway through. Once it got to, I don't know if you want to talk about the plot of this.
Well, the premise, let's just briefly summate the premise. If you've not watched the episode, go watch it. If you have watched the episode, welcome. Here is the basic premise. Essentially, it's a two-parter. One part is that Will wants to go on this TV show called Double Trouble. And he wants to get a red Corvette, other colours are available, to drive around and be cool in.
Absolutely.
And he wants the cleverest person he can think of to do it with him. He immediately goes for his good friend, Kellogg Lieberbaum, who, of course, is fictional and never
Kellogg.
Comes up again.
Is that his name, Kellogg?
His name is Kellogg Lieberbaum.
Because I have difficult trying to remember people's names.
But Kellogg's pretty memorable.
Kellogg is a good name.
And eventually ends up lumping himself with Alfonso Rubiera himself, Carlton, because he's a big clever man.
But prior to that,
you've got the uncle.
You've got Uncle Phil.
Uncle
the
Phil
handyman of the house.
With his bum out.
Yeah,
just
trying to fix the plumbing, and there's a weird extended joke about how he can't fix anything.
He can't fix anything, and I did think it was weird. If I had a lot of money, like I do,
and you're a lawyer,
and I was a lawyer, I was well-to-do,
mm-hmm.
I'd be paying for people. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's certain things I like to take pride in, my law, but there's certain things I just pay a handyman. I'll bring in a man.
Well, that's what makes Uncle Phil so special.
And he had his bum out. A lot of fat jokes on Uncle Phil as well.
If that does happen.
It's a shame.
Jeffrey, surname Butler, does the best.
Pun intended.
Does the best.
But.
Oh, I see.
What I did there. Thank you.
He is often doing the big bad bum, fat bastard jokes. Not in those words. And also, I referenced this when we first talked about the show. But essentially, to get Uncle Phil, to get a handyman in, you have the auntie coming essentially removing sex from the equation.
I enjoyed that a lot.
If Mr. Wrench wants to visit Mrs.
Goodwrench. Mr. Goodwrench wants to visit Mrs. Toolbox, you'd better get Mr. Water running. To which I wrote down, holy cow, this is racy. I may or may not have had an erection at that point.
Yeah.
But it was I don't know if you want to know the subtext of that. But I think it was pretty sexy. It's a bit like Ted.
You go into a B&Q, you get quite aroused.
All those hammers and wrenches. I have a bit of a Fresh Prince factoid for you.
Oh yeah,
play the jingle.
Fresh Prince factoid.
Kellogg Lieberbaum. Okay.
Yeah.
Actually, did appear in the show in 6 episodes. He was played by Michael Wiener.
You mean the guy who created Mad Men?
Sadly not.
Oh, that would have been wonderful. That would have been truly wonderful.
Can you imagine?
In West Philadelphia, born and raised.
Do you know the lyrics?
A little bit of all of them. Let me look them up and then tell you, yes, I can.
Yeah, let me just Google it.
Okay. Because I don't know the lyrics. This is a show I don't really... I remember watching the Fresh Prince show, I believe that's what it's called. When it came out and liking it. And the last episode I saw as a grown-up was about a couple of years ago. I saw the episode. Have you seen the episode where Chris Rock appears, but he's also playing his sister? So Chris Rock turns up playing two roles.
In a sort of Eddie Murphy, early Eddie Murphy inspired.
Yes, but without the talent. So,
oh, I see. I mean,
Chris Rock's fantastic, but he does not inhabit characters in the way that Eddie Murphy does. So essentially, his attempt to be his own character's sister was just Chris Rock in a wig and a dress. Very alluring, it has to be said. But that was a funny episode, and I enjoyed it.
That doesn't sound like it's anything like something Adam Sandler could do well.
Yes, it doesn't, does it? It doesn't.
He's a funny man.
I enjoyed this episode. I thought it was a good episode.
You did? Yeah, I laughed a lot at it.
Well, yeah, once it has those two parts, the bit with the plumbing trying to get things fixed and the usual
the phone's
jokes.
Out. And I love that. That is quintessentially the 90s. The moment
out.
The phone is out, forget about it.
Do you know what's interesting, though?
Game over.
About this show.
The house falls down.
I mean, loads of sitcoms have done this over the years where they go, they get the characters and they go to a quiz show. And it just brings out the best in characters from time to time.
Yeah, so competitive.
Young Ones did a university challenge. I mean, there was a really good episode, anyone see it recently, of Not Going Out, the Lee Mack sitcom, where they went on Pointless with the real Pointless people as well. And it was fantastic. So it was Richard Osman and Sandra Armstrong, and it was hilarious. And, Friends, Joey,
he
wanted to host a quiz show in that
they
one.
That was their own game, didn't they?
That was cracking. Yeah.
Well, speaking of inventing your own game, this is called Double Trouble.
Double Trouble.
And
great
by the
game.
Way, the Which? Rules for this game are trivia round.
Makes
then,
totally sense. Total sense.
And then
have just
fun.
Do fucking the most mental shit. I wrote it down because I was trying to understand what was going on. A lot of trivia. Now, the joke here was that every time Carlton got a question, he just waxed lyrical for ages and then he ran out of time. He didn't get it right.
What's the name of the elephant? Disney? Oh, it's a
pachyderm. Well, I think you're fine, actually. Did it? Very well. Second round. Here we go. It's the crazy round. You had two lads on ladders.
Yep.
Sat down. Mm-hmm. And then is it Will and Jazzy Jeff?
Yes, Jazzy Jeff's on the opposing team.
On little bikes.
On bikes, yeah.
Dressed in, like, they look like the
Brazilian fruit headdress.
Yeah. And then just cycling around in circles, squashing fruit on the floor.
Running over grapes.
Now, here's what I don't understand. They squash the fruit. I get why you would do that. You want to crush it for points.
You must destroy
fruit. For points.
Yeah.
They take the squash fruit and then they blend it.
Yeah, they do. But they go one step further.
That's like triple filtering.
They put it into a water pistol.
And then they shoot at each other's mouths.
In the most homoerotic display I've ever seen.
It sounds like you got a lot of... You got a lot out of this.
I got a lot out of this. I really did. I'm glad we're sitting down. I have to say. That was extraordinary. And then, so basically, two of the guys are wearing dungarees and are strapped to something. They're strapped. They're powerless to stop this act.
But they don't know
what's
going on.
And then the other two guys, at this point, I didn't know what was happening. They basically then cycle up to them.
Cycle up to them. Well,
and
get
and
back
fire
on the bike.
Their fruity juice into their mouths.
They've blended.
Yes. I mean,
from the squashed fruit that they just trampled all over on the floor.
Yeah.
That makes perfect sense to me.
I didn't find it erotic, but retrospectively, I'm finding this erotic.
Because it just is.
It is definitely... You could pay a lot of money for someone to come round your house and put some rubber sheets down and do that, couldn't
but
you?
This is set up by this apparently famous, I don't know, American TV show host, Bob Eubank, who has this chant.
Which he plays himself.
Which is so much like Number Wang, it's unbelievable. What kind of stunts do we have on Double Trouble? And then the chorus goes, stupid!
What? Hang on, is this a real thing?
Let's do that one more time. The line is, what kind of stunts do we have on Double Trouble? Stupid! What?
That's like one of the funniest jokes I ever heard when I was a kid. I think it was the Beano had a joke competition.
Yep.
And the winner destroyed me. And the winning joke, and I've never forgotten this, was how do you clean a window with a spade? Answer.
Stupid.
An orange. And I think it was my first introduction to surrealism. And it just destroyed me. But that's like that. Maybe Bob Eubank wrote that joke. So he's a real guy.
Yeah, it's Dali-esque. truly something. And speaking of Dali-esque, I just want to give you a brief rundown of my favourite...
Dali-esque was one of Will Smith's girlfriends in the third season.
That's certainly true. I want to give you a rundown of what he wears. You see him, opening scene, he's wearing a bomber jacket.
Which is colourful.
Which is a King and Queen... card based, right?
But it's Lady Luck.
So that's great. The next scene, you see him not able to get a shower because
Nightmare.
The water's out.
Wearing, 3 minute rule.
Wearing a massive green, super big dressing gown, which is, again, Jacks and Queens poker themed.
Listen.
Dark green.
Yeah.
He's got white socks on and a little flip flop, whatever. And when he's on Double Trouble, he's wearing a teal bomber jacket. Mm-hmm. Silk.
Just delicious.
A silk teal bomber jacket.
And of course, very early in the episode, he actually threatens to call the tailor on Uncle Phil. It's like, take a fucking look at yourself, mate.
Yeah.
Look in the mirror.
Have a word.
I mean, you almost pull it off, but not quite. You pull it off more than I would. I would look terrible in that coat, but it's, yeah, I keep expecting something to go, Klaus, what's the song from Joseph? I was going to go, climb every mountain, but that's not from Joseph, is it?
No, that's from another musical.
Swim every sea.
Sound of Music. But it's close. Yeah. It's close. Yeah, they wear curtains.
What's so it's all fine. Yeah. There's a song from Joseph and the Technicolor Dreamcoat where, you know, Philip Schofield.
My coat of many colors.
That's something like that.
It's not a melody. It's not a melody of it.
I have a coat.
I have a coat.
That's it.
I have a dream. Is it? Color. No.
No. This is, of course, the Fresh Prince podcast on 99's Problems. Yeah, Tyreek Johnson is the best friend who, along with, you know, Jazzy Jeff.
Jazzy Jeff, classic. Now, my favourite
obviously
bit.
Obviously, best mate.
Prior to that, Jazzy Jeff.
Best mate
he
of Fresh Prince.
He just turns up in the house, mm-hmm. and they're all having a chat, and everyone's complaining the telephone doesn't work. And Uncle Phil, prior to Jazzy Jeff coming in, goes, the next person to mention this telephone doesn't work, it's going to be in trouble.
He's going to have his shoe up their rear.
Yeah. He's going to get a...
He's going to meet Mr. Goodwrench.
That's a real threat. The next person who mentions
slapped.
Plumbing is...
Gonna, just going to get my dick in their face.
It was a really dark ending. I mean, that really pushed the envelope.
What kind of stunts do we do on Double Trouble?
Mr. Goodwrench! Show him the Goodwrench! Anyway... Goodwrench is out.
Anyway, he walks in.
He walks in and he says, oh, something about the phone not working.
But he walks in wearing, I should point out, a white and brown
shirt.
Like
from the Aztec era.
A white and brown Aztec shirt. Cut to outside of the building.
It's just
birds tweeting. And of course, you're seeing this coming. He gets thrown out the door.
Yes.
But
yes.
He, in the sequence where he's thrown out the door, is wearing an orange and yellow shirt because they only shot that once. That footage in the first season, and they reused it every single time.
And they use it twice in this episode because there's a bit at the end where he's like, when they have an argument, and he says he
wants to prove to the other guy, Tyreek, that he's a better friend.
Because, yeah, the subplot is that they're having a friend off.
They're having a friend
classic,
off.
Classic, we've all had a friend off.
Tyreek, who's like Matthew Weiner, only in this film for 6 episodes.
Yeah.
Never comes back. Never comes back to this show after 6 episodes.
No.
But apparently they could be best mates.
Smart guy.
And so, of course, Jazzy Jeff wants to prove that he has special service here.
Yep.
And he says, I don't even have to walk out of this house.
Yeah, check this out.
And he walks up and says, hey, you with the big judiciary booty. And then he gets chucked out.
Cut to...
Yeah, which doesn't make any sense.
Made me laugh a lot.
It doesn't make any sense.
A judiciary booty?
It's like
Dr. Jazzy Jeff, PhD, MD.
Just walk out of the house.
And then
don't get thrown out of the
house.
He
doesn't need to, though.
Why would that impress anyone?
Yeah, also, it would surely take more time. Uncle Phil doesn't move very fast, so he has to get up.
He's a slow mover.
He has to slowly walk across, but like the zombies
down
tools. He has to down Mr. Goodwrench. He has to grab him, take him to the front door, open the front door, hurl Jazzy Jeff onto the porch, okay? And that's going to hurt. Now, injury lawyers for you, .com didn't
exist
back then.
No, but do you think Phil had a sideline? He was like, you know what, if I hurt him,
he can sue me, and then I can charge him to sue me, then he'll lose.
That's very clever.
Can I ask you guys a quiz? Quiz questions.
Please play the jingle.
Is this to show how much we were paying attention? Or
quiz questions. Who is Captain Kangaroo's friend? You've just watched the episode. Who is Captain Kangaroo's friend? That's right, it's Mr. Green Jeans.
Oh,
how many players on a cricket team?
11.
Yeah. Well, we know that because we're, you know, we're cricketers.
Know.
I'm a cricketer.
Letters on what letters are not on the phone dial?
Q and Z.
Correct.
Z, if you're...
Who won Best
episode.
Picture in 1936?
That was... fuck.
I don't know.
That was...
The Great Ziegfeld.
Ziggy.
Who was the third wife of Julius Caesar?
Zigga Zigga.
Correct.
Yeah.
No, it's Calpurnia.
Calpurnia.
That was good, though. Carlton knew all those answers. Just bang them out.
Yeah, Will asked all the answers to Carlton, and he's got all of them. And that's a really nice moment, just seeing them all remember their lines.
Yeah.
It's really good.
I like it when they do that on the telly.
It's really good on the telly box.
Some of my favourite things.
It did have a slightly amateurish...
The whole show
one
does.
One take.
When you look sheen. Back on it, it does, really does have
it's
a...
Like,
that'll do, hands together, clap, clap, clap.
Cut! Which is why... Rap, next team.
Which is why I was astonished to see that there was like an outtake at the end.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. I think they did that on every episode, didn't they?
They don't do on all of them, but they did do them quite often.
Well, good. The same thing I was watching... She couldn't remember her lines, could she?
No. I was watching House of Fools last night, and that has, you know, the same sort of deliberately ramshackle. Although I'm not entirely sure it was deliberate in the case of Fresh Prince, but
the Fresh
deliberately
Prince
ramshackle.
Show, yes.
We've rehearsed this once. Let's give it a go.
See what
happens.
Can you remember that? Yeah, go on.
Yeah,
that'll do. In the can. I did like when Jazzy Jeff and Fresh Prince see each other. They do a kind of mid palm hand.
Oh, yeah, that was impressive.
And then they go.
Yeah, it's cool.
It's nice.
It's nice. We couldn't do that.
Because they are genuinely friends, and they were friends before the show started. And
they're a rap duo.
There you go.
They do the hip-hop music.
Rapping in and stuff.
Kellogg Lieberbaum, I want to see that guy's handshake. I want to see what he does.
What do you reckon he does?
I want to see that guy's
straight up.
Do you think he goes snap, crackle, pop? Because it's like Kellogg.
Nice.
I'm Kellogg, I'll come in your bowl. That's what he says.
Snap, crackle, glug.
Yeah.
Snap, glug.
I am speechless. You've truly rendered me speechless.
Snap, crackle, glug is... Oh, it should be on a T-shirt. T-shirts are available from...
I've got no follow-up. Normally I'm the guy who pushes this on to the next part.
My favourite bit is...
Tell me.
When they're like... he's like, why he has to pick Carlton to be his friend. Well, after the friend off, what's Carlton got? He's got Bette Davis eyes.
Yes.
That is fucking great.
That made me laugh a lot.
As a disease. Oh, he's got a really nasty disease. Yeah, he needs Betty to be David. On the show. Betty it's his last thing.
He got Bette Davis.
It's a quality reference. My favourite bit of the whole show, though, aside from the number one weird shit, is at the very end, the final round, there's Be Stupid and Trivia Round.
Yep.
Then there's essentially Mr. and Mrs. when you have to...
go in the box.
You have to go in the box, and then this soundproof box that no one can hear what... You don't understand how it works, obviously.
It's wobbling.
But then you ask your opposing player, you know, your other teammate, a question that the other one should know. Right, okay, fine. So inside you have Will Smith and Jazzy Jeff, and they essentially in a really, really low-cut purple string vest and a green vest. Mm. Pretend
you're obsessed with what they're wearing.
We're in close proximity to some fashion magazines.
But
they
have the worst pretend fight.
No, I don't know.
Oh, awful.
Honestly, joyfully terrible one-take crap.
No.
And I loved it because they're doing like the rock bottom and like heel drops.
I always like that, the slap of the elbow. I never understood that. Why do you do that? You slap the elbow before you
warm
hit.
Your elbow up.
Oh, of course.
I do so hate to drop a cold elbow.
Yeah. If you do a cold elbow,
your
arm will fall off.
Oh, shit.
This is actual science. That's right there. So I could now,
I can
elbow
see that.
Drop.
It looks you. Immediately you hear that, more listeners? Aggressive.
There you go. The elbow is now primed and ready.
Elbow's prime.
This is good.
Launching elbow.
I can hear that aggression.
And you can hear the aggression. You can see it in my eyes.
But talking of homoerotic, they get a bit like cryy and then huggy and lovey and then there's another deleted scene.
It's really, really interesting
intense.
This is a really, it's just fascinating now because you watch sitcoms these days and they have jokes, which this one does as well. There's some good jokes.
Betty Davis
you know, they talk about a guy at the waffle shop who's basically tipping him off. Yeah.
And he's the joke. One that told us.
He's the source that revealed that Mariah Carey is black. That's a funny
joke.
That's good.
That's comedy.
There's a line where Will says, "You should probably call in ugly." That's a bit mean spirited, but it's fine.
I actually really like that joke. Just to give it context, it was, "I don't think I can go into work today. My hair's awful. She looks perfect. You should call in ugly."
Yeah.
It's a funny joke. I actually thought that was wittier than the show deserved.
Yeah, that's fine. And Will Smith's energy and his charm still really gets the show motoring. But it's interesting, you watch sitcoms these days and they have actual plots and actual stories
for
the characters.
Very much that I remember it ending and being like, oh, is that the end, is it?
Yeah. You have an A story, you have a B story, and if you can stretch to it, you should have a C story as well. And this barely had an A story just kind of, when it ended, I was like, that's it? Genuinely, that's it?
No, but that feeling of, is that it? I suddenly had a flashback to always feeling that watching The Fresh Prince.
Yeah.
It always just had the spray paint writing and suddenly it's bum, ba, bum, ba, ba, and you went, oh, that's it then. That's the end of the show and that's the 21-minute slot done.
Who knew?
But no, you're absolutely right. This doesn't really conform to sitcom rules in any way. You have the funny characters, but...
Sure.
And I guess part of that because it's Will Smith's show.
Yeah.
And everything revolves around him. But, you know, for example, something like 30 Rock, which started off as Tina Fey's show, and then everyone becomes a strong character.
Yeah. And but it's not.
But this is the second season as well, so you can't really... I mean, in the first season, you can see Will Smith mouthing his other actors' lines.
Really?
Just so he knows when to come in next. So he's like...
That's what we have to do.
Cock joke. Slipping over on a banana. Yes, hello. I'm for humor. Yeah.
You can genuinely do that.
Yeah,
you can see that.
I can see that.
I need to check it out. Does he still do that?
No, he doesn't.
So the other favorite bit for me was when your mate Bob was introducing them all on Double Trouble. The three things that they all...
That was really good.
Made me laugh.
They all gave three things they liked.
He's a fan of Tom Jones... Mutual funds in capital punishment.
But the way he says it, after Carlton.
Yeah.
This isn't like mutual funds. He makes it sound like mutual.
Mutual funds.
Funds
and capital punishment. And then Tyreek likes frozen pizza. Laverne and Shirley reruns. It's LA's oldest 10th grader.
My favorite one was actually for Will Smith, which is he likes music, basketball, and girls.
And not in that order.
It's Will Smith. You go, well, Will, are the.
That one by yourself, did
That's
you?
What's Who isn't a fan
of music?
One of my questions to you guys, what would be your three intro?
My three favorite forms of capital punishment?
That was the question.
I would go electric chair.
He's a fan of electric chair.
Fry the bastards, that's what I say.
Frying the bastards.
Then I would go hanging from the neck until they're dead. And then I'd go lethal injection, which always seems a bit cheaty to me, but there you go.
Thank you, Chris Hewitt. That is the end of Capital Punishment Corner. Tune in next week.
I'm available to come back anytime talk about... other forms of people's demises.
Listen, we've all got a crutch to bear. Crux.
Crux?
Oh, for fuck's sake.
I like your question, though. What would be the three things that you like that you want to be mentioned on a quiz show? What are the three things that you like so much they define you? I'd go REM.
Oh. Okay. Liverpool Football Club, yes, please.
And?
Event Horizon. No, there's got to be more to that. There's got to be more to me than that.
You've only got three slots.
I'm a man, not a number. I beg your pardon. That's a revelation. I don't know. Come back to me.
Okay, we'll do.
Come back to me. Mangoes. I don't like mangoes. I don't even know why I said that.
Mangoes?
I don't like mangoes.
Could you be defined by a fruit?
I like
fruit. Well, it might come in handy, though. If you're in that second round, the mangoes on the floor, you'd be bang on that because
I'd be crushing
it. You'd be crushing the shit out of it.
Well, on a trike?
I don't know what you're doing.
Good luck with that.
Listen, I don't feel like that round is vehicle specific. The next week, who knows what's coming out?
Just show me where the mangoes are, and I will come with your vehicle to crush them. I don't care.
Have you got an avocado? Is it unripened? Because I'm going to smash the shit out of this mango.
What kind of stunts do we like on Double Trouble?
Stupid!
What are we like in 1990s problems?
Stupid!
Mangoes!
Capital punishment.
Capital punishment, good.
It's the best.
It's the best.
That's on the back of the t-shirt that says Snap, Crackle, Glug. Capital Punishment is the best.
I've got another great joke that's in this, which is when they're both being dumb. The reason why Tyreek and Jazzy Jeff don't like each other is because Jazzy Jeff sold Tyreek a fake Rolex, but Tyreek...
It's his own fault. Tyreek had a two-hour warranty.
He paid using a dodgy $20 note.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
He said... You should have realised it was a fake note because it was Jermaine Jackson.
And he's like, they all look the same to me.
And bang.
Bang.
Nice. Great. Racial humour that we can't get away with.
Nope. Well, we can try.
Maybe Trevor Noah could. Nice.
That's topical.
Topical.
A topical joke.
This will totally work when iTunes is remembered in 20 years' time.
Trevor who? Well, it's like Jimmy Swaggart. This guy...
Yeah, he really had a
Did
crazy...
you look up Jimmy Swaggart afterwards?
I did. He is the sweatiest...
No,
Twice. He's this Christian evangelical... he's like a TV evangelist.
Yeah, televangelist, yeah.
Oh, all right.
Long word, yeah.
Thank you. And he just liked hiring pros and then getting caught. Mm-hmm. And then the first time he was like, look, I've got a problem. I'm going to let Christ the Savior, he's going to sort me out.
And Christ is like, why are you getting me involved?
Well, wait, because...
I'm just crushing some mangoes, bro.
The second time Christ, he got caught in the 90s. This is where they got...
Christ got
this
caught.
This is where
Christ
the Reverend...
got caught.
Well,
you was it with Christ?
He... I mean, I don't know what her name was, but...
it's called a Sandra.
Is that in the Bible?
It's called a mango.
Mandy Mango. He was hiring a pro again in the 90s, so this is where the reference come from.
Let's call him Mrs. Toolbox.
Listen, Mrs. Water. He told the congregation, he got caught, he's like, look, I've spoken to the Lord, and the Lord told me, this is a direct quote, it's flat out none of your business.
Amazing.
Yeah, so he's just amazing. Like, I fucked a pro, God says, not my problem, not your problem, I'm out. And then he came back and then sold lots of TV shows and CDs and stuff.
He's one of the first televangelists to actually drop the mic.
Was he?
No.
Oh. I thought you just...
What up,
you
Jay? Boing.
Drop the mic was actually his signature move.
Yeah.
As a wrestler.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like if he had a mic that was like a wrestler. Cross as well.
Jimmy Swagger versus Triple H.
Oh, that was a good match.
I could really see that.
Sweet chin music.
Rocks up as the Terminator.
Jesus chin music. Oh, no, I can't think we're going. Anyway... But the thing is about this episode, like, I don't feel like there's a lot to talk about.
Oh man, you had people running over fruit with fucking bikes.
I mean, that was like mental.
Can I ask one thing?
Please do.
Why did you choose this episode?
Don't look at me.
I picked it because of the utter insanity of the stupid, what do we like, stupid, and then they have the fast-forward squirting juice into each other's mouths.
Okay, so you knew this already?
I knew it, because it is the most preposterous episode that I can remember.
I've never seen it before.
Right. Okay. That's cool.
We'd also talked about plenty of other episodes in our previous...
We reviewed Fresh Prince of Bel-Air when... I can't remember. Every time I feel like I'm... either very inebriated. The ones I don't like have always been either drunk or
drugged.
On a lot of codeine because I had a huge abscess in my mouth. And this was one of them.
Sounds
I remember
like
being
it.
Furious about it because I fucking hated it. I was like, oh, this is rubbish. Uh-huh. What a load of rubbish this is. And then I listened to this and I thought, oh, the irony.
You're listening to it as you're making
yeah, it's
it.
Like
and
very
you're going,
meta.
Yes, yeah, very good.
Somebody talking rubbish about something rubbish.
But yeah, essentially, I picked this one because it was the silliest.
Crazy.
There are episodes that are actually really heartfelt, especially Will with his dad, this fictional dad, obviously, and stuff.
Not the Kellogg's.
Like stuff between like race relations stuff, like the stuff that's actually quite legal based, and
there was a few edgy ones, and
there
topical.
Are episodes that are genuinely like clever and have something to say.
Quincy had
this
a good
was
idea.
The most bonkers.
It's mental.
That Quincy Jones
season two,
ever
episode
produced.
19. They're like, right, what are we doing?
What have we got to prove?
What have you got?
Nothing.
I've always wanted to write a quiz episode, guys.
How does it end?
Well, the whole season. The whole show.
The whole show.
They get teleported to where the Scientologists live. Bum, 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 bum. Yeah, that's it.
I don't know how Fresh Prince ends.
It's revealed to be a dream. Kellogg Lieberbaum's dream.
He's just like, they're all in a bowl.
They're all in a massive bowl.
And then the next thing you know, snap.
He's just eating them one by one.
Crackle.
Out comes Mr. Goodwrench. How comes Mr. Big Spoon?
I'm going to Google it.
You're going to Google the very ending?
I Google Keenan and Kellogg.
Well, the interesting thing about The Fresh Prince is that it was, like so many of the shows that we've talked about, like Sabrina was on one channel and then went to another.
And they flipped it.
The Fresh Prince show, as it
the
was
Fresh
called.
The Fresh Prince.
The Fresh
Prince. The Fresh Prince. Isn't it?
The Fresh Prince.
That's a very different program that I think maybe you watched earlier.
Eyes on the prize.
Neville Longbottom is the Flesh Prince.
There can be only one. Anyway, so it was on one channel for about 4 or 5 seasons and then
about
came back for another because it, you know, fans loved it. And so there was like, I think, 2 extra. So, you know, it's not, I don't think it really went, well, where's our arc? Where are we going to finish this grand, majestic journey? I think it just probably did what all the episodes did and just stopped.
No, I don't believe you.
I do.
There was a 2-part final called I Done.
I Done.
Part 1 and part 2.
Good. What happened? What happened in I Done?
No, there's no
Cylons.
There's no specific Wikipedia entry.
That's ridiculous.
Are you kidding?
This is ridiculous. I can't believe that.
What does neverlongbottom.com say?
Well, I'm on it right now. Sorry. I've just got caught in those dreamy eyes. Help me. What am I doing again? Fresh Prince.
Fresh Prince. Just turn off Google Safe Search and it's Flash Prince.
Okay, I've got it.
Dot.
All right.
You're listening to Two People Google.
This is great. I really like the fact that we're Googling.
The thing that would make it a bit more interesting is if we turned the keyboard click back on our iPhones.
Did you know?
At least you could hear it happening.
Do you know the first episode was broadcast on September 10th, 1990? That's 10 days before my 14th birthday. And it was...
Do you want to add that onto the Wikipedia page?
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm sure... I mean, you've got status. People probably would delete that.
So many facts.
The kind of people that probably update Wikipedia articles probably read Empire, so...
I don't know whether to take that as an insult or a compliment.
That's probably a massive insult, I'm guessing, but...
No, I don't think so.
I think it's a compliment insult.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, here we go. Within seconds of Googling, I've solved...
Tell me, Chris, read out the synopsis.
In the series finale...
There you go.
Right, the Banks family...
That's the family bank.
Okay. Prepares to move away from California.
To Philadelphia.
Yeah. And Will, played by Will Smith, confronts his lack of achievements since he moved in with them. Hillary moves to New York as her show has been moved there. Ashley will be living with her and will attend a performing arts school. Carlton goes to Princeton University to continue his education while Jeffrey...
The fresh Princeton University.
Good.
While Jeffrey moves back to London to be with his son.
Jeff.
Okay. Philip, Vivian, and Nikki move back east to be near their children. Will remains in California to finish his studies.
It's not a barnstormer of a finale, is it?
What's he going to do next? Finish his studies!
Not exactly what you're looking for, is it?
That's what they call tying it up in a little bow.
I think it would be better if he became a taxi driver and then in a generation's time, a new Fresh Prince comes to LA and he's the one driving him right up to the door. It's about 7 or 8.
And it's Will Smith's son and he's dressed as Batman entirely in white.
It's Jaden dressed as a condom.
It's Jaden dressed as a condom. That would be amazing.
The Flesh Prince.
But I've just realized something.
Tell me.
So, the final episode of The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, which I believe is the sitcom we've been talking about.
That is a situational comedy. Okay. We're talking about it on this podcast, Night Night's podcast.
It was broadcast May 20th, 1996.
That's a 6-year run by the sounds
of it. All right. Independence Day came out about... No. 3 or 4 weeks later. That's amazing.
So he finished his studies and then saved the world.
He immediately became an astronaut.
He threw out all of his gambling related clothing.
Yes. All of it.
Joined the army.
All of it. Yeah, 3rd of July. Of course it came out on 3rd of July. 3rd of July, 1996. Just over 4 weeks later. Just over 4 weeks later, he became a huge movie star.
Independence Day like attire on during the film, like a little bit of promo.
He must have done. I can only imagine.
We'll have to watch it.
But that explains why the show came to an end.
Speaking of which, I think I better do a bit of capital punishment on this mother.
Oh no!
What should we do to this episode? I think garrote it.
Cyanide pill.
Cyanide.
This is good.
Can you cyanide something? I mean, can you kill someone with cyanide?
If you try hard enough, you can cyanide anything.
Your Coke can has been open for this entire episode. If I'd wanted to, I could have just slipped it in there and you'd have been dead within seconds.
What with Mr. Goodwrench?
With Mr. Goodwrench. From here,
you can fit that in.
I'm a good shot. I could shoot you from Stuttgart and make it look like suicide. Do the Alexander Litvinenko method, or you could ricin someone, or you could like just stab them with an umbrella in the leg.
Ricin pee,
which is sore, doesn't actually kill anyone.
An umbrella in the leg.
Yeah.
What if it's like one of them ones from that film?
Which one?
Poison umbrella.
Yeah, the poison.
That's the one.
The case. Sherlock Holmes in the case of the poison brolly.
That one with the, it's new, isn't it? The
Kingsman.
That's the one.
That's the one. Okay.
Well, there's a stun grenade that pops out, yeah.
He's got a brolly in that, hasn't he?
Well, he sets it to stun, so conceivably it could kill.
I once walked up the escalator in London past a man who was wearing... Thank you.
I thought you were doing an elbow drop. I got confused. Yes. I was like, don't attack him.
He had a python wrapped around his arm.
So
He was walking around London with a python wrapped around his arm.
Had somebody given you ricin?
No, I don't think so. I'm pretty sure, though. I think I recognize it.
Just wrapped around.
He had it wrapped around his arm, and I was like, that's a snake, because I don't like snakes. the snake was like, that's a human, I don't like humans, yeah. So we're even.
We're all okay.
That's what I would do if I were to try and kill someone. I'd just walk around with a rattlesnake wrapped around my arm, and if someone gave me shit, just a quick little...
Would you have to slap it first, do you think?
Slap. That's you prime the snake by tapping the elbow.
Tapping on it, right on the
snake
elbow.
Nose, and prime.
Here we go, baby.
Quick strike.
Jaw disengage.
Absolutely.
I now in my head imagine you calling this snake Prime.
How's that the idea? Is like, have you seen that bloke? That bloke goes attack! Around London, he's just got like a snake from Hamleys.
And he keeps shouting.
He just keeps slapping his hand. I don't know why. He won't leave the tube.
He keeps shouting.
He's not
snake
got
Prime.
He's not got enough on his oyster to get out.
He was dressed as Neville Longbottom, but I didn't know what to do.
I think he's mates with a guy with a pyramid on his head.
He's just made a suit entirely out of Hogwarts ties.
Snake Prime! Snake Prime! Prime! Snake! Attack!
He's dressed as a condom.
And he says he's the Flesh Prince.
The Flesh Prince demands it, Snake Prime!
Well, I've had fun. This has been great.
Thank you. This is how you demolish a podcast.
Yeah, you've been listening to I'm so tired all of a sudden.
We need to very quickly summate how many out of 1,990, how do you rate this episode and the show?
Go ahead.
As you remember it, at 1,990, give me a number.
587.
Ooh, that is very low.
Well, it has problems. It has structural problems.
It has.
What can I say?
It has 580 problems.
587.
Yeah, that's barely 30%.
Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
The Fresh Prince
really
show.
What kind of
90s
sitcom would you be like? Oh, 1700, 1600.
Oh,
what do you need?
Oh, come on. Good British Empire.
Oh, no. Yeah, kind of 80s, wasn't it? It's got to be 80s. No, 90s.
Yep.
Well, we got to. I would say I've got to do a phone interview in literally 3 minutes, but
we'll take your points and you can go.
Friends.
Yeah, all right, fine.
Because I like friends.
Oh, yeah, you were fine.
And
okay,
I think
fine.
That we've become friends in the course of this.
Be there for you. Absolutely. Yeah.
Prime, attack! I now will start clapping anybody I truly admire by tapping my elbow.
Well, listen, that's how we do it in showbiz.
In this business we call show.
Boom, baby!
Okay, how many out of... No, Chris, you can go. Goodbye, we've loved you. Bye-bye.
Goodbye. This has been really fun. Thank you, everyone, for listening to this.
And then I'm going to ask him his points.
No, I want to hear it. That's fine. That's
okay, quickly. What are your points out of 1,990?
I'm going to give it 1,200.
Yeah, I'm going to give about 1,112.
I feel harsh.
I suggested this episode not because it's fantastic. I suggest it because it's utterly nuts.
I feel like you're right.
We need to say to everyone who's been listening to this, stay witchy bitches.
Stay witchy bitches.
I'm going to kick you in the neck and hit you with a inflatable snake. And also, what else is the shit that we say?
Can you hear that on the mic?
Yeah, of course you can.
That's a new catchphrase.
Okay, great.
Hashtag elbow slap.
Good hashtag snake prime. Okay, thanks very much. We will be on iTunes.
We'll be in there. Send us your reviews,
good ones.
Tweet us 99's podcast.
And thanks for playing.
Love you. Bye.
What kind of stunts do we do on Double Trouble?
Stupid. Mango.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.